For a third part, I just want a reminder that Matt and Ruthie Seifert will be here. You don't want to miss Matt and Ruthie as they're speaking, as Matt preaches. Man, it's going to be awesome. And then the barbecue is just going to be real simple, a couple hours, just a fellowship. Some people we're going to catch up with Matt and Ruthie. It'd be nice to meet him. Fellowship, and then, you know, kind of separate. I know people are going to be doing different things for the 4th of July. I'm not sure who's having fireworks this year. I don't. Watson, are they doing that at Watson? So anyway, I'm sure Chino I know is not, right? So I'm sure it's going to be a lot of people crowding in one area, fighting to get in and get out. That sounds fun, doesn't it? Amen. So today is a part three of called Walking in Blessing and Not the Curse. The curse of the law. This is a very important message. And so, Father, I pray that our ears would be open today. Father, I pray that we want to hear what you would say to us today. The Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that where every individual is here today, Lord, I thank you that you will meet them right where they're at. Father, I thank you that you meet us right where we're at. So today, Father, we thank you for your spirit of encouragement, your spirit of strength. Lord, we thank you for your ability, Father God, coming alive on the inside of us through the Holy Spirit. I say thank you, Father, for the ability of the Holy Spirit coming alive on the inside of us. Amen. We thank you for that today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. So starting out with Galatians 3:14. Just starting out that some of these scriptures we've laid out over and over again, and just going piece by piece, line upon line, is through God's word that the Spirit of God convinces you that his blessing is on your life, that he wants to bless your life, that he is, in many cases, a lot of people realize he is blessing their lives. And then, you know, a lot of times I've mentioned before, people will see things on TV or be taught things, it'll be it'll be repulsive. It'll take a little bit of truth with a mixture of whether it be the law or a mixture of just a man or like a snake oil salesman. We'll hear that and we'll just repulsive. So we'll say, I don't want any part of that. And as you've heard Pastor Lee say many times, if you've been here through the years, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. As we talk today about God's blessing upon your life and my life, his desire to flow through us, his desire to take care of us, his desire to bless you. I said his desire to bless you scripturally. Not because I said that, but looking at what the scriptures say regarding that in the new covenant, in the light of the covenant of grace, this new covenant. Galatians 3:14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, one thing you got to realize, of Abraham who believed God, but was he indwelled with the Spirit of God? No. God did not indwell man until he could, because there was a sacrifice for sin. He's perfect and he's holy. And the only way he can indwell you is if our sins are washed away, and it was by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. His Spirit could not dwell in us if otherwise we wouldn't even live. The glory of God dwelled in this vessel without the forgiveness of sins is not possible. Did God still love people? Yes. Did he have a people, Israel, chosen unto himself? Yes. Did he still speak through prophets to people? Yes. The Spirit of God would come upon them and they would proclaim the goodness of God. But what does it say in the beginning of Hebrews? He doesn't speak to you and I through prophets now. He speaks to us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Meaning that we can hear his voice. That we don't have to have another man saying, hey, I'm not saying to get prophecy and different things that God uses. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying because of the Holy Spirit indwelling you and I, we can hear his voice. I don't have to have a prophet come and tell me, hey, come do this and do that. I hear his voice too. I say, I hear his voice too. So anybody that would come up to me and give me a word, it should be something that God's already placed in me. a confirmation or an encouragement. That's where this, a prophecy or word of exhortation would come into play, man. You know, the world's view of blessing. There's a world's view of blessing and curse and curses. And as believers, we can't get caught up in what the world's view is. Maybe you've thought this before. You know, when you think about blessing or somebody's life being blessed. How about luck? You ever heard of luck? The luck of the draw. You were at the right place at the right time. Amen. Or it just happened to work out for you. Or you just happened to be perhaps educated enough. Or you put yourself in a place for that blessing. Or whatever you want to, the world would call it. You've heard that before? Or you might hear saying, hey, because of the side of the tracks I come from, I can't walk in blessing. Because of my background, my experiences, where I'm from, who my family is, I can or cannot be blessed. So there's a world's view. There's the principle that the world offers that tells us how we can or can't be blessed. But I'm telling you, God's blessing is outside of that 100%. If we walk in those in the way or the principles of the world, we'll find ourselves being tired, dragged out, stressed out, because it's all going to be upon you. It's going to be your responsibility. As we move through this, as heirs of Christ, as joint heirs of Christ, as seed of Abraham, there's a blessing, I'm telling you, as we go through this, for you and I, that God wants to place in our lives that is upon him. You think about Abraham, God's blessing upon him is simply because he believed when God told Abraham, leave your family. He left with basically nothing. And because of his obedience, God blessed him abundantly. Amen. In spite of him, in spite of his struggles, in spite of the areas where he was disobedient, God blessed him. As we go through this, I don't know about you, but I want all the blessing I can have from God to be a blessing to others, to touch the world, whatever that looks like. Amen? When people oppose that, I wonder why. What is it that you believe that's caused you to believe that way? Or maybe you've got this mentality that only hardship proves that God is with me. In this world, you'll have trouble. Believe me, you're going to have enough trouble in this world regardless. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had enough trouble in itself, but yet the blessing of God was upon them. Amen. So we know Satan can supernaturally, by the way, help people. Did you know that? He's the little G God of this world. If you read in Matthew 4, 8 through 10, it says this is Satan who's tempting, the devil tempting Jesus. Verse 8 says, again, the devil took him, Jesus, along to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Verse 9, and he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Verse 10, then Jesus said to him, go away, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So Satan has the ability to give a so-called blessing to people. Let us not, servants of God, envy those who may have everything in the world but don't have salvation. Everything they have is in this world and it goes no further. They have no eternal life to look forward to. Or you hear about those that are great in the eyes of the world who all of a sudden will commit suicide, or their life is plagued with tragedy and tragedy after tragedy. So on the outside, things looking blessed, or man, everything works out their ways, but in the inside, it's all they have. Everything they see is all they have. So the blessing that may come from the world is only for a short time. You and I, let's not look at the world and what the world has and say, if I was like that, if I went that route, I would be happy. I'm telling you, it's a blessing for the saints of God, but it has nothing with our lives being submitted to the world's decrees, the world's law, what the world wants us to do, but submitted to Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you love him today? But we also, not only Satan can he bless people, according to Scripture, but he's also ultimately regardless. He doesn't bless people or put people in positions because he's looking, because he loves them or to bless them. It's always to deceive people. How can I deceive people? How can I deceive masses of people? Anybody that Satan, who doesn't know the Lord, who has got, in other words, who is confident in themselves, amen, or perceived blessing, like I said, that's all they have. That's, there's nothing else to look forward to. Ultimately, though, it's about deceiving people unto destruction. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." So in the end, the enemy, whatever people's lives, the thing, whether they appear blessed or not blessed, it's to deceive people. The web that he weaves, so to speak, is always to deceive the masses. My first thing is today saying that, you know what, we don't have to go the way of the world to be blessed. You don't have to work your fingers to the bone to be blessed. You don't have to sacrifice your family to be blessed. You don't have to obtain some type of position in your own mind or whatever to be blessed. God's blessing, simply starting out by faith in Jesus Christ, you're blessed. If there's something in you that says, that can't be true, as we go through this scripture, I'm telling you, simply, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of works. You know, our believing what God accomplished for us on the cross, number one, will never change. That is enough for us to walk in blessing. Now, there'll be areas of maturity and growing that comes along with it. But it never changes by faith alone. Never. Never. Only by faith. So we know that Satan weaves his web. There's an economy, the world's way, that a blessing. But you know what? That's not God's way. That's not God's way. God preached the first salvation message. Let's start. So the first salvation message, when we talk about you and I being blessed in Abraham, let's go to Galatians 3, 8, and 9, if we can, Bill. The scripture foreseeing, this is a powerful scripture, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Who's a Gentile? I'm a Gentile. Matter of fact, today, anybody who's going to be justified, it's going to be by faith. Jew or Gentile, you have to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he was the sacrifice for your and my sin alone. Verse 8 again, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. Did you hear that? Who preached the first gospel message? God. Let me read that again. Verse 8, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to who? Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. Verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Before the law, before he could get a list of do's and don'ts, the gospel was preached before that. The first message, gospel message ever preached was to Abraham by God. It says that right there. Being saying he knew that Christ, the new covenant, would come. He knew that that blessing would come through Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, he says he blessed him by faith because he believed. Nothing has changed. Even prior to the law, he made Abraham blessed simply because he believed what God told him. I will make you into great nations. I will make you into great nations. If you can count the sand of the sea, the seashore, all the sands, if you can count that, if you can count the stars, you can count how many people are going to be blessed through you. through that seed that came through Jesus Christ. Amen. So say that you are blessed with Abraham. Say this, I'm blessed with Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is upon my life being a joint heir. It's like I am a, it's Abraham is my great, 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 you know, grandfather. Well, isn't that what it's saying? We're joint heirs with Christ. We've been adopted, it says, into his family. Our past has been washed away by the blood of Jesus. We're a new creation. And God's saying, I want to bless you. Whatever the area, I want to bless you. I want to strengthen you. I want to provide for you. I want to lead you. I don't want you to carry that weight. I think I'd mentioned it last week where I have friends that I love dearly, and people I know will talk about business. Their businesses are blessed. And certain people I'll talk to, I said, man, God's blessed your business. They say, oh, yeah, yeah, but that's not what it's about. Okay. Well, I get that's not what it's all about. But something about this admitting God's blessing, somehow we should be ashamed of it. Or if you're blessed somehow in finances or whatever you put your hand to, that somehow that's wrong. No, we need to boast in the Lord about that. Not arrogantly. But saying, Lord, thank you for that blessing. He wants other people to see it. He wants people around you that have no hope to look at you and say, man, if maybe I can do it if he's or she's doing it. Maybe there's hope for me. The biggest, I think the most radical thing, the most awesome thing we could do, say, showing other people, look what the Lord has done in my life. Yes, it was him, but I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. I think the Lord wants to bless people like that more, who understand where it came from, who understands what this blessing from Abraham means to us. You know, you think of the blessing of Abraham, how God blessed him from his enemies. He took care of all his needs. Amen? He more than supplied all his needs in spite of him. It says that God blessed him. Let me say, do you believe that God can bless you in spite of your struggles? Other people say, yeah, I just, if only I didn't, if I was where I needed to be, then God could bless me. Well, let us know when you get there. And let us know what rule book you're following. Where is that? Because to be honest, when it becomes like that, the rule book is different for everybody. When you think about a list that you need to for God to be pleased with you, I want to put my list together, your list together, your list, and your list, and your list, and your list, and list. Let's compare them and see who's right. What I'm saying is, in all our weaknesses, God even loves to bless us. You know, when God blesses us in spite of ourselves, boy, that can give you more confidence to grow in him, even in spite of yourself, than waiting for you to deserve it and arrive somewhere so that I deserve this now. Abraham never did that. He simply believed God, and so he said, go from your family to land I will show you. And he obeyed. And when he got, didn't know what was going to happen, didn't know the people, didn't know anybody. He had no influence, absolutely no influence. And that's another thing about the world system. It says you've got to have influence. I'm telling you, when you serve God and walk with him and trust him, his blessing, he'll give you the influence. He'll put the people in your life. He'll open the right doors simply by faith and trusting him. When we try to jockey for those positions or whatever, we've got to show ourselves. We've got to show ourselves as capable. We've got to prove and tell people how awesome we are. But when we trust him, God will show those people how awesome we are. God will put that favor, you on their hearts to open those doors, to bring that blessing, to trust him, to receive of his blessing. Amen. Verse 9 again. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. He was a believer. Are you a believer today? You see, it was this faith, nothing to do with his heritage, his background. Nothing wrong with those things. But if that's all you got, there's nothing more. Nothing to do with his past experiences, what he'd accomplished. Simply by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith is it impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you start looking into the Greek about that diligently, because my diligently meant, okay, I'm going to memorize this many scriptures a week. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. If you're a list person, you just love lists. You get lists. I mean, some of you know, just get it done. But that's not necessary. I don't think that seek him diligently can mean exactly what we think in our minds. Did you know when you look at it in the Greek, one of the things, and you've heard Pastor Lee say this, that it means when in the Greek, what diligently means, it says demand. Putting a demand on his promises. Trusting him. Diligently saying, Lord, I'm trusting you today. I don't care how I feel. I'm trusting you today. That's pretty diligent. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to trust you. I'm not giving up or giving in. Lord, I'm looking to you alone. I'm not going to look to the ways of the world. I'm going to look to you. That's diligent. Diligently say, I'm not letting go of you by faith. Diligently. Say, Lord, you got me this far, so far. I'm not giving in. I'm holding on by faith. I'm telling you, faith is powerful. Faith is the thing that propels us. As I begin to grow in that faith and realizing that I can see things of faith, looking unto Jesus, the author, as I grow in him, realizing how powerful faith is. You know, when we don't believe that God can bless us, we don't believe in his promises, what we're saying is we don't have the faith for it. We don't believe it. We reduce our walk with Christ as everything happens for a reason. So whatever. Whatever will be, will be. The future is not ours to see. Not bad, huh? Diligent means, no, I'm not putting up with everything that comes my way. Lord, I believe that you still heal today. Lord, I believe that you can take care of my finances. I don't care how negative your account is. Lord, I believe you can restore that son and daughter. Lord, this is more the declaration. I'm thanking God that you will restore that son or daughter. Lord, I thank you that you will bless me according to your riches and glory. Lord, I thank you that you are going to bless my marriage. I'm glad you're going to bless my children. We start declaring those things and agreeing with the word of God. Sometimes the worst prayer we can pray is, Lord, if it be your will. If it be your will that you bless me. You know what, I've noticed one thing, and regardless of where you are in the world, you can be blessed. There's different places. There's different societies, customs. If you go to Bangladesh, you don't shake somebody with your right hand. That's what they use to clean themselves up after the bathroom. Your left hand. Even people believe in for, you know, there's societies that people, they don't know the truth, so they've been there for generations, so they can't even see that anything would be different. But the gospel can open eyes. Why is this country blessed? Is it because, we know it's because of Christ, because of God. What about you? Do you believe it's because of God in your life that you're blessed? You know, people in other countries, as they start believing, saying, God, you can provide my food. You can bless me. You can do things in my life. If God will do that with that simple faith. But there's different societies that have been entrenched in different things that to break through that is difficult. It's very difficult. So coming back to where I started several weeks ago in Galatians 1:9, it says, as we have said before, so say now again, if any man preaches unto you any gospel other than that which you received, let him be anathema. So in the ASV, a person or thing detested or loathed or excommunicated. Now, if you look in the King James, it'll say cursed. And sometimes we, or he's cursed. Doesn't necessarily mean he was cursed to hell. Excommunicate him. Don't listen to what he was saying. He may have been a believer from a Jewish church at that time saying, hey, you got to do this. But Paul's saying, hey, I didn't bring the gospel to you this way where you had to start doing things like this. So he's saying, hey, excommunicate that guy. Don't listen to him. The gospel he's presenting to you is not what I presented to you. That's what he's saying right there in that Galatians 1:9. So here I'm going back. What caused Paul to be upset with the Galatians? What caused this? They started out by observing days and seasons. Galatians 4:9-11. Amen. Let's read that. But now, it says, but now that you've come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles to which you want to be enslaved all over again? You meticulously observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. Isn't that crazy? What's wrong with just observing some days? You know, they're just a Jewish calendar, Jewish holy days. That's what they were trying to bring in. What's wrong with that? Well, Paul knew that once you start with that, that's not where it's going to end. Sometimes through the years, I've had people that maybe have gone through a difficult time in their lives, and they'll think, man, this isn't working out. There's got to be something more to it than just faith. So they'll start adding things. They'll start adding Jewish traditions. They'll start adding things to their life that, like, okay, there must be a secret, an unknown secret here. If I get the prayer shawl, there'll be an anointing on that. If I do this or that, if I start understanding the Jewish holidays and feasts, maybe something will be released that I never knew. But Paul's saying, hey, if you start down that road, you don't realize that's not the gospel I preach to you. You're strained from faith. You're saying that there's something missing. You're saying that I didn't give you the whole truth, that somehow I held back from you. And so others coming in and saying, hey, you know what, you need to do this. So they started meticulously Jewish holidays and feasts. I'm telling you, that was just he goes on to say, that's just a shadow of things to come, or a shadow of things that have already come. You know what? Everything we have in the gospel of faith and trust in Christ, it's all we need. We grow with him. There's no more. People's mind, people in themselves think there's got to be more. It's got to be more learned. There's got to be things I can uncover. You know, the things that we uncover now are his character, his love, his grace. He uncovers and reveals to us his kindness, his loving kindness, his mercy and grace for you. His mercy and grace for your wife or your husband or your family. He starts unveiling his loving kindness. What these folks in the Galatian church were starting to realize, they were saying, we didn't get everything. We're missing out. I'm telling you, if you start getting beyond the grace, the gospel of grace and the love of Christ, there is nothing beyond that besides Jesus revealing his goodness to you. There's nothing beyond that. There's times and seasons. We can't even agree are we pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib? We can't even agree on that. But can we agree that Jesus, faith alone, by grace are you saved through faith, and that's it? Can we agree that if you're going to have a blessing and God leading and guiding you, it's going to be by faith and trust in him alone? You're not missing out on anything. There's nothing that you're trying to uncover, I'm telling you, that's going to make all the pieces come together. That's a ploy of the devil. That's a religious spirit. If I could just find that, oh, did you hear the latest thing? There's this new thing going on. There's this new revelation. And it takes you into something you got to do. And it takes you into observing holidays, or Jewish feasts. Paul's saying here, he says, man, all of a sudden you're following Jewish holidays? In Jewish feast? Man, he says, you're falling away from the gospel. Isn't that a harsh statement? He says, you're falling away from the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. Verse 11 again, he says, I fear you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. That's a big statement. In vain. That the gospel I preach to you is now not going to have any effect. Wow. Romans 14:5 says, one person values one day over another. Another values every day the same. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. You know, if you go in the Corinthians, he talks about those that, you know, that won't eat meat sacrificed to other gods. And Paul says, you know what he says? He says, those who have a weak conscience. That's what he says. So, but I wouldn't say, hey, we are different places. He says, they have a weak conscience. But he says, but, you know, out of love, you know, if you know that's been sacrificed to another god, don't eat it. But my point is, he says, some of you, it doesn't bother you. You're strong in the Lord. Your conscience has been trained by the Word of God. Amen? Your conscience has been trained by the Word of God. So he's saying there, one person values one day over another. Another person values every day the same. Did you hear that? Every day the same. They're saying, they believe that every day is the same, as holy as unto the Lord. I consider Monday the same day as Sunday, except we know that our favorite day of the week is Monday, right? Doesn't Monday mean opportunity? God, that's what I decided to tell myself years ago because of my loathe for Mondays. Now it's my favorite day of the week. You'd be surprised what you can convince yourself of. I'm serious. You'd be surprised. So, amen. So that, and then in Colossians 2:16-17, it says, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food and drink, or the respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day, things which are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Everything. Being in the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Amen? You don't need to add anything to your life besides faith in Him. And let Him, by His Spirit, begin to add things into you through the Spirit. Not through your works. Not through you wanting to prove that you fit in. Not you wanting to show God that, hey, I can do this, you can trust me. Here's the thing, God loves faith. And it does simple faith. He loves it. It's amazing. I don't know why He made it that way. I don't understand it. But I understand that when I soften my heart, that I see more through faith than I ever would have imagined. When I soften my heart and trust Him like a child, I'm amazed what I see through faith. Eyes of faith. Amen. Seeing God's blessing on my life. Reading that I have blessing of Abraham and believing that. My question to you is that you believe that today. A question to ask ourselves. The second thing is with circumcision. Paul has some strong words. What's wrong with circumcision? I mean, most of, I'm going to say, American society circumcised, believes in circumcision. I'm not going to get into details. But this church, they weren't circumcised. And somebody came in and talked about it. So let's read in Galatians 5:2-4. It says, look. He says, I'm talking to you. Out of love, I'm talking to you. Those that I labored over. Those that I preached the gospel to. Those that with my own hands laid on miracles amongst you. He says, look, I, Paul, tell you that if you have yourself circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Are you serious? Seriously, listen to what he's saying. And I testify, verse 3, I testify again to every man who has himself circumcised that he's obligated to keep the whole law. You have been set, listen to this, he says, you have been severed from Christ. Wow. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Wow. You ever read the book of Galatians to read it? Not with any preconceived of how you were raised or how you believed or how you were taught. As I start just reading the Word of God and reading this and saying, wow, Lord, the things that Paul was saying in a tough way. He's saying, look, if you are going to be circumcised, you got to keep the whole law, and you have fallen from grace. Big statement. Deuteronomy 10:16. What was God's desire from the beginning? Deuteronomy 10:16. It says, circumcise your heart. Do not stiffen your neck any longer. Today would be saying, Jesus, I believe you're God. Come into my life. I give you my life. I don't have you as an addition to other gods. I believe you're the only God. I believe you're the only way to salvation. I believe you're the only way to true blessing. You're the only way to have a life of joy. I make you Lord of my life. That's what I'm talking about. Circumcising our heart, saying, Lord, I choose to believe in you. Regardless of what my mind, regardless of what tells me, I choose to believe in you as the Son of God. So always God's desire was people's hearts. So even there in that scripture in Deuteronomy 10:16, it says, so circumcise your hearts and do not stiffen your neck any longer. You know, they were headed for a wreck. That's why he was pleading with them. He says, they were headed for a wreck. If you read 2 Corinthians 3:7 through 10 in the Passion Translation, I love the way this is worded. Talking about, this is what number three, because he says if you are going to follow days and seasons, if you're going to be circumcised, then you've got to keep the whole law. For verse 10, for all who are of the works of the law are under a curse. Did you hear that? Those that are going to follow the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to do them. Wow. Verse 11. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous one will live by faith. How many people we have in here with faith? How many people of faith we have in here? Hallelujah. How many people aren't ashamed to say, yes, I live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Verse 12, however, the law is not of faith. You hear that? The law is not of faith. On the contrary, the person who performs them will live by them. It means you got to do it. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Listen to this, guys. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles, hallelujah, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, led by the Spirit, strengthened by the Spirit, dead to sin by the Spirit, amen, through the Spirit of God. This is interesting because it says he became a curse for us. Well, where did Paul get that? Let's go to Deuteronomy 21. 22 and 23, Bill. And then New Century Version, like how it says, so God, through the law, speaking to the Israelites, Jesus became a curse for us, right? How did he become a curse for us, by the way? He was perfect, right? Jesus could have died a number of ways. Do you agree? He could have been beheaded. He could have been buried alive. The number of ways that they could have killed our Savior. But he had to die one way. There was only one way that Jesus could die to redeem us from the curse. It wasn't just that he died. It's how he died. 22 of Deuteronomy says, if someone is guilty of sin, this is in the law, worthy of death, he must be put to death and his body displayed on a tree. Wow. Verse 23, but don't leave his body hanging on the tree overnight. Be sure to bury him that same day, because anyone whose body is displayed on a tree is cursed by God. You must not ruin the land the Lord your God has given you as your own. Everybody cursed who is hung on a tree. Jesus hung on a tree, not only for the forgiveness of sins, but to redeem us from the curse of the law, the curse of sin. Only one way. He had to have been hung on a tree. The curse. You and I can walk in healing or believe in healing because he was hung on a tree. You and I can believe for having a right mind and not being vexed because he was hung on a tree. You and I can be blessed where he takes care of our needs because he was hung on a tree for you and I. The power of him not only dying, but how he died. He says, everybody's cursed who's hung on a tree. So he hung on a tree and became that curse. The curse for you and I, the curse that belongs to us because of sin. He hung on that tree for you and I, that I would not walk in that curse. So as I have him as my personal Savior, doesn't matter what my folks did. I don't live under a curse of what my family did or didn't do. Because it says, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I don't have a generational curse, but because he hung on a tree for every curse in my life. I don't believe in this nonsense of generational curses because it says that he hung on a tree for me and the curse is broken. I don't have to chant a bunch of things that says, Lord, break that curse, break that curse. No, I believe simply this, saying, Lord, you died for my sins on a tree. I do not carry a curse. There's no curse handed down to me. It's broken now. I told you I've been involved in things where, and it was well-meaning, where we would reject, speak against all these curses, fast for 3 days, do all these things, memorize all these scriptures. And when I got done with it, I just thought, my thing that entered my mind was this, man, maybe I should have fasted 5 days. Maybe if I had done more, I would get rid of this guilt and this struggle. Didn't realize it was as simple as believing in the one who died on a tree for the curse. Let me tell you right now, you have no curse if you believe Jesus is the Christ. There's no curse on you. There's no generational curse. I just read that we are not under the curse of the law if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, who became a curse for us. If you feel like your marriage is cursed, break that thing. There's no curse. Believe in him. Whatever the issue, says, Lord, help us here. There's no curse here. If you believe your children are cursed because of what you've done in the past or whatever, you break that thing in Jesus' name and you look at the cross and say, Jesus, you died on a tree and you became the curse for me. I'm not buying that. That's the devil. Or that's ungodly teaching. No, he took it all on a tree for me. Isn't that amazing? Wow, thank you, Father. What did that curse look like, by the way? As we move on a little bit. You love him this morning? Are you glad you're not under a curse? I'm telling you right now, if you feel like any type of thing where it's like, I don't measure up, or something from your past, or something that's been going on, it's you feel like you deserve it, or there's a curse on you, don't accept that. That is the devil. That's not Christ. He became a curse. You think of the pain, the whipping he took on his back, the stripes, by his stripes I'm healed. The crown of thorns is shoved on his head from my mind. Amen. That I may have a mind of peace. And then putting him on a tree, and it says he became a curse. No wonder he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As he couldn't look at him. All the wrath against sin and the curse of the law extinguished Jesus at that point in history, and it was enough. It was enough. I said it was enough. There's no curse on you. If you feel like your business or whatever is cursed or you just can't get ahead, say, Jesus, thank you. Bless my business. Give me bless my mind. Bless how I operate my business in Jesus' name. Lord, bless my marriage. Show me, Father God, how to walk in blessing and not in a curse in Jesus' name. Thank you through your Holy Spirit that it was enough, Father God. So Deuteronomy 28:15-19. What did that curse of the law look like? It was released when they couldn't follow the law. I'm telling you, when you go to following just rules and regulations, it says in Romans 7 that it releases the power of sin in your life. Paul said, I didn't even know what coveting was until the law came along, and then it just released the power of sin in my life. So anything that would be related to a curse today is what we allow when we say, I'm going to follow the precepts of a law. And we go out of faith and trust and into doing actually releases a curse on our law. What do you mean a curse? Meaning we're doing it on our own strength. And we can't do it on our own strength. Deuteronomy 15, it says, but it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God. Wow. Who wants to obey the Lord your God? I do. Of course I do. But what's that look like? Well, this is what it looked like back then. But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to be careful to follow all his commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today, then all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed will you be in the city, and cursed will you be in the country. Cursed will be your basket and your kneading bowl. 18, cursed will be the children of your womb, the produce of your ground, the newborn of your herd, and the offspring of your flock. Cursed will be you when you come in, and cursed will be you be when you go out. What was he saying at this time? He was saying, if you're not following the law, you're not following me and trusting me, you're on your own. And Israel always got into this problem of wanting to be like the countries around them. And it always led to a curse. Even the desire to want a king. So God says, I'm your king. They said, no, we've got to be like those around us. God brought them out of nothing, out of bondage. God brought them out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, took people that were nothing. They had no power and strength and made them mighty, but still it wasn't enough. They said, we got to have a king. And so God gave them a king. Amen. But isn't God gracious? Because even though he was telling the prophet Samuel, because prophet said Samuel, the prophet, was crying before the Lord all night about them wanting a king. And he says, Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. But even in God's mercy, giving him a king, Saul, and then David, and where did Jesus come from? Out of the line, out of the lineage of David, amen? So you see this thing, these curses, when we go to trying to do it on our own, it only leads to your own efforts. The curse of the law. There's no blessing on our own efforts. I'm not saying you don't work hard and do these things. You know what I'm saying? Putting your trust in your own efforts. Putting your trust in your own abilities. Putting your trust in your own righteousness, I'm telling you, just releases the enemy works in our life. He loves when people do that. He'll say, yep, come on, keep it up. Then he'll slip it in there, but you need to do a little bit more. And you need to do this a little bit more different. And the next thing you know, we're chasing our own tail. Here's what we need to do when we get in those spots. Say, stop, Lord, I trust you. Jesus, how do I work out of this situation? Lord, what direction do I go from here? Lord, you know the things I face. I'm trusting you. Give me wisdom. Lord, I'm trusting you for that. Lord, thank you for providing for my needs and what I need. Thank you for blessing my finances. Did you hear what I said? Thank you for blessing my finances. Lord, thank you for helping me to be a blessing to others. He loves hearing that. That's what he wants to hear. We're here. We know what the world says. No, you got to do it on your own. That's foolishness. Drive, 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 drive. That's not God. He leads, leads, leads. Father, we thank you for leading us today. Father, thank you that we submit to your leadership. Lord, thank you, Lord, we submit to you leading and guiding us. Lord, we, with our hearts, saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, thank you for washing my sins away. Lord, that struggle that I'm having that keeps dogging at me, Lord, I give that to you. I look to you. dare to say that in your struggle right now that you are righteous in him. You want the power of sin to break, saying, Lord, in my struggle, I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. If you'll start daring to believe what the blood and the cross have accomplished, you'll be amazed how things will break. You'll be amazed how things will begin to break off your life in Jesus' name when you simply believe it by faith. Father, I thank you for right now that, Lord, there's no curse. If you're a believer here, I'm telling you right now, you're not under a curse unless you want to follow the law, unless you want to do it on your own, unless you want to take pride in what you've accomplished. I encourage you today to cast that aside and with childlike faith say, Lord, thank you for washing my sins away. Thank you for that struggle, Lord. I give it to you. Thank you that I am born again. Thank you, Lord, that I'm on my way to heaven. Thank you that my Lord, that my life is being led by you in the midst of that struggle, and watch and start and see what will happen as that thing starts to break off your life in Jesus' name. I said, as that thing breaks off your life in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for that. Proverbs 3:33 and 34 says, the curse of the law is on the house of the wicked. Did you hear that? But he blesses the home of the righteous. How many righteous do we have in here? Though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the needy. Ooh, I'm needy. Thank you, Lord. How about you? The world says that's disgusting. They do. They look at that abhor. But with, for the body, for the believer, Father, I need you. It is wonderful to walk in his blessing, whatever's going on in your life, by trusting him to lead you. As he teaches you how to come out of the world system of fret, working yourself to the bone, struggling, anxiety-filled. That's not what God has for us. As the worship team comes, I'm going to read a couple other things. Did you know, how many here want to walk in the blessing of Abraham? I'm not saying that in arrogance. Understand that. I'm saying that in revealing the promises of God, the promises of the Word of God. Paul says, I'm afraid that you've cut yourself off from grace. You know, what's wonderful about him is the scripture says that when I'm faithless, he remains faithful. All it is, say, Lord, thank you for restoring relationship with you. Lord, thank you. Just a reminder today that I want to trust in the blessing, your blessing in my life as a joint heir with Christ. You know, blessing in that Hebrew, the blessed, prosper, just what it means, prosper, to invoke a benediction upon, and he speaks over you. The utterance or bestowing of a blessing, well, good, something said, or motive, the mouth, speech, talk, utterance. Isn't that amazing? What are you speaking over your life and those around you? You know, part of that blessing, of God's blessing, is saying, Lord, thank you for blessing me. Thank you for blessing me. Can we stand up together? Say, Father, thank you for blessing me. Lord, the Lord God loves to hear that. That is really the humblest thing you can do. When you say, Lord, thank you for blessing me. Blessing at work, at home. Lord, my relationships with other Lord, I just start speaking blessing. All the words, I mean, utterance, declaration, agreeing with his word. You know, this is what God wants to hear. God wants to hear from us. Say, Lord, thank you that by faith I'm made right with you. Thank you by faith that I'm blessed in you. God loves hearing that. He loves to hear us boast in him. Did you know he loves us boasting in him? Do you agree with that? So, Father, we thank you for that. Let me read Galatians 3. I'm just going to read a few scriptures here as we close it up. Just to wrap this up, this is Paul. Just a reminder, he's been pleading with them. He says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you? Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's what he says. That's it. That was his question to them. He says, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as right for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Wow. Faith. Amen. Verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. In verse 9 again. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Psalms 1, verses 3 and 4. He shall be like a tree planted by the... That's talking about you and I. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. They may look blessed on this earth, but that's it. That's all they have. You and I are not only blessed on this earth and him leading and guiding our lives and blessing us, but we're going to be with heaven with him in eternity. Amen? Isn't that awesome? So, Father, we thank you today, Father. We thank you for speaking each heart. Thank you for strengthening. Thank you for planting the seed of the Word of God this morning. Lord, how we love you. How we thank you, Father, for the blessing. You're blessing our lives. Father, we declare that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Lord, we love you. We're going to sing a song and then we'll be dismissed. Amen. You love him today?
Amen.